This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them, to bless every one of us, to grant us goodness and to open our doors. This evening we have verses from Surah Al-An'am, commencing with verse number 65 of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having in the previous verses made mention of the fact that He is the one who saves and who can save and who does save everyone requiring that savior from the calamities and destruction of the world, and He made mention of how people who had promised that if they were saved from certain calamities, they would be from among the thankful. And Allah says, after they were saved, they then associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgot. My brothers, my sisters, what happens to us is something of a lesser level, mostly. But it is equally important to mention it. When we are in need, we call out to Allah. When we want things, we cry to Allah. At times, we make promises to Allah that we will do this and we will do that. And sometimes, when what we wanted happens, we forget that promise to Allah. We say we will become better people, we will become better Muslimin. I want to pause for a moment to remind you that to make promises to Allah, to do extra acts of worship or something in return for something being done for you, is actually a very miserly promise. It's the promise of a miser. The hadith says, لَا يَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَخْرَجُ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ. When you make such promises, such vows, that, oh Allah, if you cure me, I'm going to read 5 Qur'ans. What are you trying to treat Allah by? And what are you trying to actually say to Allah? Does He really need the act of worship? The answer is no. It's us who need it. Do you really think that treatment is in line with the duty unto Allah? Many people do this. They say, oh Allah, if you cure me, I will fast for 60 days. Does Allah need that fasting? The answer is no. You don't know what you're saying. In your desperation, you say, oh Allah, if you grant me this, I'm going to give a sadaqah of 1 million. I think the old Zimbabwean dollars, by the way. And we say, oh Allah, if you're going to do this for me, I will do that. Although if you have said that, you will be held responsible for your promise. But you should not have done it in the first place, because it is a very low level of doing things. We are taught that when you want something from Allah, you do an act of worship. Then you say, oh Allah, I gave a sadaqah, please help me. Oh Allah, I read Salah and I did so much of extra. Please help me. Oh Allah, I follow the messenger as best as I can. So grant me forgiveness and help me. Oh Allah, I've already quit my bad ways. Help me. You can't say, if you help me, I'll quit my bad ways. So it's a very interesting topic, because it's called a nadr in the Arabic language. Some call it a mannat. That means we are vowing. Oh, what are you doing to Allah? It's like telling a little baby, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I'm going to give you this example. If you come here, I'll give you a sweet. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. I know the example of Allah is far higher, but Allah doesn't even need that act of worship. We need it. So change your life and ask Allah. Make a little charity and ask Allah. And like we normally say, I've had someone come to me and say, you know, I promised that if this and this happened, then I would do this. And they said a big thing, really big thing. And they said, now it has happened, but I can't do this anymore. I said, you know, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. You know, what beats me is, for Allah, nothing is too big to resolve. He can solve it. He knows what is better for us. Keep making dua, keep trying, change your ways. Don't promise big, big things. You know, easy are the ones who say, oh Allah, if this happens, I'll read Qul Huwallah one time. Astaghfirullah. A'udhu billah. It doesn't mean that that makes your problem any smaller. But what I am saying is the proper way is to do it the other way around. You change your life for Allah. Say, oh Allah, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Oh Allah, we have believed, we have followed the messenger. And we followed the message, we are trying hard. So write us from among those who have borne witness. Or whatever goodness you want to ask, you are asking and by telling Allah, oh Allah, the good deeds I've done, at least accept them. It is called seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help through the good deeds that you may have done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So Allah says here in the previous verses, just prior to verse 65, that there are people who have said that if you safeguard us, we will be thankful. Then when we safeguarded them, they turned away. They pretended like they never called out to us before regarding the help of Allah. Now, in these verses, Allah is expressing His might, His power, His ability to destroy in whatever way He wants. And He has shown that to us, not only in the previous times, but I promise you, even now, in our own times, Allah has shown us, He's done it. In front of us, He's done it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Qul, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, Huwa al-Qadir. Allah is the all-able. The all-able to do what? Ala an yab'atha alaykum azaban. He is all-able, He can, and He is able, well able, to send upon you a punishment. If He wants, He can. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah wanted to punish people immediately due to their wrongdoings, nothing would have been left on earth. It would have been gone. Imagine if we had a quick response to a sin. You commit a sin, you immediately get whipped. You feel it immediately. You commit another one, whipped. You commit a big one, destroyed. Everyone, Allah says it, that everyone would be destroyed. Because it is part of the plan of Allah to give you time, to give me time, to make sure that we do good. But Allah is here only telling us His ability. I can. If I want, I can. But through my mercy, I don't do it. Except where people may deserve it. And that doesn't mean that every disaster we see on earth is necessarily the punishment of Allah for everyone that was destroyed. It can be for some a punishment, for some a test, for some a means of martyrdom, for some different things. Those who die while in the obedience of Allah in a huge earthquake, they will definitely go to Jannah if they have done it for the sake of Allah. And Allah knows that. And those who have died whilst transgressing and earning the wrath of Allah, only Allah knows what He's going to do to them. Perhaps it may be a punishment of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is He who is able to send a punishment if He wants, either min fawqikum, from the top, from the heavens, from the top. It can come from up above. You look at the rainfall. If it's too much, it's a problem. If it's too little, it's a problem. Subhanallah. It has to be right. That's a gift of Allah. You look at various other factors. In the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent different types of punishments from the top. Stones. And Allah has sent birds coming on top of the armies and destroying them. The whole of Surah Al-Fil is making mention of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min fawqikum, He can send it from the top. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this verse, he used to seek the protection in Allah from this type of calamity. A'udhu biwajhik. I seek the protection of Allah from this. It is an amazing quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter he says, "O min tahti arjulikum," or He is able to send you a punishment from underneath. From underneath. You know, when floods happen, sometimes it's both the top and the bottom. The water table rises to the degree that water gushes from the bottom and from the top as well. It can happen. Allah can do it from the top or from the bottom or both. And He has done it. The bottom, sometimes you see locusts coming out. Sometimes you see different types of plagues happening. Sometimes it might just be an earthquake. It could be tremors. It could be tsunamis. It could be anything. But like I said, not every time and not every person whom that happens to, is it necessarily a punishment? It is wrong for us to declare that we know this was the punishment of Allah for everyone that was there. We are not the ones who sent it. So only Allah knows. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum struggled. Whether it was with certain types of plagues, or there was a disease that had spread at a certain time, it doesn't mean they were being punished. They were being tested by Allah. Some lost their lives. At-ta'un is a plague. It happened. And this is why the laws and rules and regulations came to us, because we heard about it from what happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So that the point is, Allah is all able. We cannot decide what Allah's intention was when something happened. That is left for Allah alone, and we believe it. But it is definitely for us to take heed, for us to be bothered. When someone dies in salah, in sujood, isn't it for us to say, MashaAllah, good death? But it shouldn't stop there. We should ask ourselves, do I even read salah so that the chances of me dying like this become a little bit better? People don't read salah at all. And then they say, oh Allah, give me that death. But you don't make salah. I remember one youngster a few years back telling me, well, the reason is I don't want to die. So if Allah accepts it, then one day when I start reading, He'll give it to me. Now that is foolish, extremely foolish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. He says, أَوْ مِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, or from beneath your feet, He is able to send you that punishment. He is able to destroy you to smithereens if He wishes. He has done it. You know, if you take a look nowadays, we have technology that has shown us what has happened when just a little flood has come. In a few seconds, entire cities have been demolished. Cities. And powerful people have gone. May Allah protect us. Allah is saying, look, don't forget, when we did good to you, don't go back to your bad ways. And if you have and you do, quickly come back before the punishment comes. Then He says, أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, twice he sought the refuge in Allah from this type of punishment. When he said, when Allah says, Allah is able to send you the punishment from the top or the bottom, the Prophet ﷺ says, أَعُوذُ بِوَجْهِكِ. When it came to the last one, he says, this one is ahwan. He says, أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. Or, if Allah wants, He can punish you in a different way. You know how? He can make you into different groupings and sects and let you taste each other's violence and punishment. That's a possibility. People become different groups, different sects, and then you find problems and issues and violence. And this is why, no matter what, we should not be violent. No matter what the problem is, respectfully manage it and handle it. Even if you have to say words that are very hard, but don't let them be abusive. May Allah guide us. It is very tempting when your blood is boiling. The winner is he who can extinguish that and deal with the matter without becoming violent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Remember, this is a very important factor. Because if we were to become that, what's the difference between us and those whom Allah is mentioning? Yes, if a thief comes to you or someone is beating you up, it's your right to defend. In fact, if you were to die as a result of defending yourself and your family, their honor, their wealth, the property, etc., etc., then you would die a noble death. People would say, this man died saving and protecting his own family members, etc. The hadith says that is a type of shahada. It's a type of martyrdom. So we are not saying when someone comes to you and starts slapping you, you say, Jazakallah, thank you so much. No, slap them back a harder slap. There's no harm. If you have the energy, there goes. But what we are saying is, we don't become violent for mere disputes of the sects that we have. And it's amazing, because we will see more verses in tonight's tafsir that will prove to us that, you know what, it's not even the duty and responsibility of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ensure that the people are guided. That is in the hands of Allah. He just has to deliver the guidance. He has to deliver the message. And it's up to Allah what happens thereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. So Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the types of punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He creates, He could if He wishes, create different sects, and each one tastes the anger or the violence of the other. Now, I know people may be thinking of this in our little context, which is minute. But to be honest, this is a much, much broader matter. It goes to humanity at large. take a look at the ummah. And this goes beyond just the ummah. But take a look at the ummah. We are struggling because of one another. If you were to ask me today, the harm that is caused to the ummah is more from those who are uttering the shahada than those who are not. If you look at the destruction, the killing, the violence, and those who are going around perpetrating acts of terrorism against Muslims, there are a lot of the times others who are also saying the same shahada. Go and study the globe. Go and check what's happening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Don't become so passionate about something that it makes you believe that if this person is not guided, they are supposed to be destroyed. Be patient with them. Be patient with everyone. Remember, guidance is in the hands of Allah. Your duty is to deliver the message. You don't beat up someone because they don't agree with your system of belief. You don't beat them up. You don't harm them because of that. Your duty is to continue to try and convince them in a beautiful way. They may die without becoming convinced. They were created by Allah. They have returned to Allah. Your hisab, your accounts, you have won because you conveyed the message. Their accounts, they have lost because they didn't want to listen to the message. But their hisab is with Allah. Their account is with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after making mention of those three things, the one is punishment from the top, the other is the punishment from the bottom, and the third is amongst each other. He says, "Undur kayfa nusarrifu al-ayati la'allahum yafqahoon." Look at how we have diversified all these verses of ours, given them so many different types of examples regarding our power, our existence, our might, our ability, so that they can understand, so that they can think, this is Allah. May Allah soften our hearts towards what is right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Thereafter, Allah says, وَكَذَّبَ بِهِ قَوْمُكَ وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. Regarding the Quran, your people have belied this book, yet it is the truth. The Quran, the kuffar of Quraysh, they didn't believe in it, but it was the truth. And they knew it was the truth. In another verse, not too far from this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, they are denying due to their arrogance and due to their wrongdoing. Juhud, they just want to deny it, but they know deep down. La yukathibunak. The Quran says, deep down, they know that it's right, but they are just bashing it because they don't want. They have too much to lose. And this is why when you have a powerful person doing something wrong, and someone says, you know, you are wrong, it requires a noble characteristic to be able to admit your fault and say, yes, I should change this. The more powerful you are, whether it is through wealth or through authority or popularity, it becomes more difficult to acknowledge your error, to make amends, to say, you know what, you're right and I'm wrong. Subhanallah. So the kuffar of Quraysh, the cronies from among them, the chiefs from amongst them, they used to always, you know, worry about their seat and their power. If we decide to acknowledge the prophethood of this man, we're going to lose our chair. We're going to lose our power. He's going to become the leader suddenly. That's what made them deny. Never let your popularity, your wealth, your authority deny the truth. Even if the truth is coming to you through a person you don't like. The fact that they are speaking the truth, you surrender to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and protection. So Allah says, they have belied it, but it is the truth. قُلْ لَسْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Tell them that I am not a manager over you. I'm not responsible for what you have done thereafter. I gave the message. There we go. I'm not a disposer of your affairs. You are answerable to Allah. Allah is the one who's the disposer of all affairs. I am not the one. So if you have belied, you will have to answer to Allah. In other words, لِكُلِّ نَبَئٍ مُسْتَقَرٌ. You know, the literal translation of this is, for every news, there is a period where it will come to fruition. And the deeper meaning of it is every promise that Allah has made and everything that has been said, it will come to pass. It's just a matter of time. That's why Allah immediately says, وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, and soon you will know. You will know. Why? Because لِكُلِّ نَبَأٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ. Everything that we have said is going to come to pass. Every piece of news has its reality. Subhanallah. When we've told you this will happen, it's going to happen. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the next day. It is coming. You can't run away. So Allah says, لِكُلِّ نَبَأٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ. Amazing. May Allah protect us all. وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Very soon you shall know. And Allah is then telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of us by extension, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. Now there is an issue. What was the issue? People used to scoff at, mock about the Quran, scoff at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to create a mockery, talk that which is displeasing to Allah regarding the signs of Allah, the verses of Allah. They used to make a mockery. So Allah says, when you see the people who are indulging in speech that is against our verses, making a mockery of it, insulting it, earning the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. Turn away from them. Don't sit with them. Turn away from them. حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Until they engage in some other speech. Even if you're sitting in the company of people, they start talking about Allah in a derogatory way, about something that is sacred in a derogatory way, the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ, etc., the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a derogatory way, you should try and stop it if you can by telling them, brothers, don't talk about this, don't say this. Generally, these would be the non-Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they persist in insulting, then you know what you should do? You should walk away. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. Did Allah say, beat them up, slap them, smash them, etc.? No, nothing of that nature. Beautiful. Allah said, walk away. They will see the light. I've seen people now in recent history who insulted Islam, insulted Allah, insulted the Prophet ﷺ, created movies and cartoons against the Prophet ﷺ. And you know what? After a while, Allah gave them guidance. Wallahi, I know some of these people personally. Allah gave them guidance. Today, they are more strong Muslims than you and I. Subhanallah. What happened? Well, Allah says, you saw them doing this bad. It's a phase in a lot of cases. It's a phase. They'll come out of it if Allah wills. What you do, walk out. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Unless and until they change the speech. They change it. They talk about something else. Then you can go back. And when you get an opportunity, you throw in your good word here and there. Subhanallah. Allah says, وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is one of the most beautiful verses. If shaitan makes you to forget to leave the discussion that is earning the displeasure of Allah, then when you remember, walk out. Wow, subhanallah. Number one, Allah is blaming the devil to say, you know who makes you forget things? It's shaitan. So if I'm sitting intentionally, I'm to blame. But if I'm sitting and I didn't even realize due to whatever other distractions were in my mind or whatever it was, and I didn't realize these people are earning the displeasure of Allah and I'm in the group, you know what? I need to get out the moment I realize and blame shaitan. Allah says, shaitan made you forget. You're a good person. Look at how Allah is encouraging us. Allah would, it's easy for him to have said, if you have forgotten, when you remember, walk out. But he didn't say that. If shaitan made you forget, then you remembered, walk out. Amazing how Allah is also looking at the good side of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. We who don't even know what's in the hearts of others, immediately judge them by thinking the worst thoughts possible when something happens to people. May Allah strengthen us. So Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى. Once you have remembered, don't sit after that ma'al qawmi al-zalimeen, with those who are transgressing against Allah, with the sinful, with the oppressors, with those who are sinful and transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll read one more verse because it's quite connected also, and it's what I was saying earlier. Ma 'ala alladhina yattaquna min hisabihim min shay. Those who are God conscious and they have a strong relationship with Allah, they are not accountable. They are not to be held accountable at all for the disbelief of the disbelievers. They are not. You can't take the pious and execute them and say that's because of the sinful. That doesn't happen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't. And this is one of the reasons why we believe that for Allah to perpetrate an injustice, to crucify one person for the sins of the rest, is a grave injustice with common logic and sense for humankind, more so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a matter of belief. Each one is responsible for his own sin. And each one will be forgiven immediately by Allah if he repents sincerely. There is no way that you are sincere and you do it properly, seeking the forgiveness of Allah, and he says, no chance, for you it's okay, go away. Never ever can that happen. For as long as you've met the conditions of tawbah, it is wiped out. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, it is not those who are, meaning those who are God conscious, those who have a good relationship with Allah, we're calling them al-muttaqoon, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, they are not responsible, they will not be held accountable for those who are astray or who are doing bad or sinful or for the disbelievers. Min hisabihim walakin. But what is their duty? Dhikra la'allahum yattaqoon. But a gentle reminder, so that perhaps they may also develop their relationship with Allah. They may also become conscious of Allah. So what's your duty? And what's my duty? May Allah make us from among those who are conscious of Him. The duty is a reminder, a good reminder. Look at this. If Allah wanted, He could have said, but you should go out and attack them. He didn't say that. He says, but you remind and keep reminding. How many of us have benefited from a good reminder? Why are we seated here today? It's a good reminder. And we want an encouragement. We want a good reminder. So I tell you, you want a good reminder. A good way of consolidating and strengthening that is to remind others with the same. That's one of the beauties of Islam. Balighu anni walau aya. Convey from me, even if it is one little verse. One verse. You know a verse, you learn something, tell it to someone, share it with someone. Put it in a nice way and tell your family, tell your friends. Subhanallah, what did you do? You consolidated what you had in many ways, just by conveying the message. That's a topic on its own, the benefits of conveying the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen all of us. These were the beautiful verses that we have gone through very briefly this evening. May Allah grant us all goodness and forgiveness. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.